Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Eric. I was troubled not knowing what to do about works because I heard the Lord, he wanted me to do it. And I argued it. He says, Lord, I don't want to do that. Is it good? Well, anyway, we'll see if I fall on the floor. Amen. This chair will hold me. I don't know what's wrong with it, but give me a minute here. Okay. I'm settled. Thank you for putting up with this chair. Whoa. I know when Keith came home, as I said earlier, he was going to Ventura, and then the couple that was going with him, because of not feeling well, couldn't go. So I assumed he wouldn't go, but he said, no, I'm going because I want to be in the car alone with my music and get right with the Lord. Because he, as you can imagine, the spiritual warfare that's going on in his life is unbelievable. And the reason for that is because we're in the end times. And I'm sure every one of us here can share a story about that battle that we're in. So when he shared it, well, he's going, I said, well, he says, I'd sure like to go to Minnesota. You know how men are. They kind of give those little subtle hints. A few minutes later, I says, well, why don't you go? We'll take care of it. I know I could talk to Sarah. She's probably got something. And I called her, and she didn't. But the Lord had laid this on my heart. I was so blessed last week when he taught about the storms of our lives. So I thought, well, let's study our storms today. There is not one person in here that hasn't had a storm. Some of you right now are going through some major storms. So let me get my eyes on. Again, I thank all of the veterans that served our for our country. Chris, you got to quit saying you didn't do much. You did a lot. Everybody that served did a lot. Thank you, men, for doing that. And the women that had to stay home while their husbands were away. I know, as you know, I've been married before. My first husband was in Vietnam during the Tet Offensive, which was probably the worst part of the whole thing. So we lived in Hawaii, and when he got out of Vietnam, we lived there for a while, and I'll never forget it. The kitchen table, those men that served over there needed to vent. So we would listen to them for hours and hours, days on days, what they saw. My first husband had sent me some pictures the day Sally was born. These were pictures of dead Vietnamese men. But that's the thinking these guys had over there, to survive. They were kids. He was 18, 19 years old when he went over there. They were kids. They didn't know what they were doing, other than what they were told to do. But anyway, we survived all of that. And that marriage ended, and then a year later I met Keith, and I'm so blessed by him because we just celebrated 45 years. And we're looking for 45 more, however many the Lord will give us. This is something. Okay, I'm going to start by saying, I always like to define what I'm doing, the storm. What does that mean? So I went, picked it up. In the Bible, storms symbolize God's power and authority over nature. Storms represent his ability to bring change. Don't we all like change? Purify and demonstrate his authority. His authority. Storms often served as a call to trust in God's protection. Seek refuge in him. The wind is seen as a symbol of God's presence because it is so powerful, yet it's unseen. Think about that. The wind of the storm that we sense is showing us his power, even though it's unseen. And as we know, with the elections that we just went through this last week, the storms were raging bad. We all know that. That Trump, of course, I heard today, he won as Arizona. That was one of the last states to say yes. So he had this red wave, we call it, which we praise God for, because God told many, many people for the last years that he would be the next president. And as I watched the TV with Keith the other night, and they were talking about this state, this state, this state, and then they would say maybe. I said, no, God said he was going to win. And then they'd say something else, no, God said he was going to win. And Keith can verify that. I wasn't going to listen to what they were telling us, as we found out he did win. And we're so thankful that God himself pulled him through, because we know God saved him from that bullet that was intended to kill him just by a split second. God has had his hand on this man for years, and we're thankful for that. Okay, we need some scriptures to go along with my gibberish. Psalms 46:1. It reads, God is our refuge and strength and will help, proven help in trouble. Remember, he is our refuge. He is our strength. And he has proven that he will help us in trouble, no matter what you're going through, whatever you call your storm. Thank you, Lord, for that. And the reason I'm telling you this, because I'm trying to renew my mind with the scriptures. Because of the storms that I see my husband going through, sometimes I want to get in my flesh and say, just get rid of these people. Just get rid of that ministry. But I can't do that. That's my flesh. I had a, what does Jesse Duplantis call it? A fit of carnality. A fit of carnality is what I had. My flesh raised up. And Keith says, no, no. Okay, well, let's go on to another scripture, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? This is him, Jesus himself. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. But do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Even when you have a fit of carnality, which I have too many here lately, he's with me. I just have to renew my mind. That's why this storm of my mind has to be under control. Let's talk about Matthew 8:23. This, I paraphrased it because it's quite lengthy. It's about when Jesus was in the boat in the waves. We know that Jesus was asleep as the storm raged. But the disciples woken up saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Jesus said, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Jesus arose, rebuked the winds, the sea, and there was great, get that word, great calm. We can have that in our storms if we just say that he is there with us. Now in Romans 8:28, we know that this word tells us God promises, and when his promises are yes and amen, he promises to make something good out of the storm that brings devastation to your life. Now your life meaning your flesh, because he doesn't bring devastation to our spirit. So think of the storm that you're going through, that he will get me through this. Now I'm going to share a few storms that I have personally gone through. And maybe at the end, if you all have a storm you want to share, you won't be on camera unless you want to be, but you can share your storm. There was a time when Sarah was little. You've heard me share this many, many times. She was probably 2. And we were living in Northwest Iowa. Keith had gone on a trip or whatever you want to call it to Ames, and here I am over here. And I was babysitting another little boy, and she was playing with him all through the house, which was no concern of mine. Little boy went home. And then Sarah just looked funny, and she says, I just felt I should rock her, which was very unusual for me to do so. Not that I didn't, but it was unusual before she took her nap. And I heard in my mind, she's going to die. I literally heard it, people. She's going to die. I'm going, what? There's nobody here but me and Sarah. And I got concerned because I stood her up and she went like a rag doll to the floor. Just instant. Boom. She couldn't stand on her own. So I called one person in the town of Newell, Iowa that I knew, and that was my lady friend next door. Take her to the hospital. I said, I don't know where the hospital is. We just moved. So she said, follow me. We took her to the hospital. Long story short, they pumped her stomach. She had taken 4 pills of Keys, where one would put him to sleep. It would have killed her because it relaxes you so much. And I knew, I didn't totally understand that story till much later when we were in Oskaloosa. And we had a pastor friend that was our mentor in the spirit realm. He says, do you realize who you heard that day? No, it was just in my mind. That was the Holy Spirit. I wasn't filled. I knew of God. I loved him, but I wasn't filled. So long story short, I learned about that, got filled with Holy Ghost. Love it. She's here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put this one up, Sarah. The storm that was sent to you is going to be the storm that God uses to make you. The storm that you're now going through is the storm that God uses to make you. The one thing that I'm dealing with is this mind. This mind. So think about that. Think about how is God using the storm that you're going through. I'm going to share about Dennis, our oldest son. He was living with his dad. He's from my first marriage in Colorado. Keith and I lived in, I believe it was Newell, I'm not sure. We lived in so many towns up there. And he was coming back for a visit on an airplane. When he got to our house, you got to realize this, a long time ago, he had a gun, a loaded gun he brought on that airline. And this kid was like 12 or 13 years old. We're going, my goodness, what's going on here? And during that visit, he wanted to go back home, but it wasn't time. So what does this young man do while we're asleep? He steals our car, drives to back to Colorado. He got almost all the way there, hit a deer, I think, in my memory, ruined the car. Cops called us, said, your son is here. Your car is not working. Come and get him. Well, my dad had his own plane. So we asked him to fly us over there, which he did. Keith fixed the car. It was something to do with transmission. He did this, wired that. We got the car home, got Dennis home. Can you imagine that storm? Your son bringing a gun, a loaded gun, on an airline. It's impossible today, but back then. And he was like 12. Thank God. Let's go on to the next one that says, the storm you are in right now will pass. Have faith. Have faith. That's what we had to get through that storm with Dennis. My goodness. But he's okay today. Thank God. He's married, adopting a young man, got a good job, loves the Lord. Wouldn't have guessed it back then, but that's what divorce does. That's why God in his word even says, I hate divorce. But if you've been divorced, you know he will forgive you if you repent. That's why in our newest ministry that we were doing back then was called Married for Life, which is something I love because it's all scripture. It's a 13-week course. We train people what God expected them to do in their marriage, your roles as a husband and wife, how you pray together. I mean, it's so powerful. It really taught us a lot. And it taught us how to deal with issues of other people. I could tell you stories. One story, you don't know these people because they're not coming here. They were just part of that marriage. But this one story of the 15-odd years that we were doing this ministry that I remember most. We had this young couple in our house. They had like three little children, and they were going through trouble. So they were going through the 13 weeks. Even though they're going through, we always took time to minister one-on-one if they wanted it. And this couple wanted it. So in the house that we live now, he was sitting on the couch with this beautiful little frail, like your stature, wife, just very frail. He's big, strong. We're talking about different things. Now take it. I got to watch my language, but he take it for granted. He says, I have had intimacy with more than 100 women. What? I said to myself, what? He's bragging about it right in front of his wife. About 10 minutes later, I went, excuse me, what did you say? He repeated it. I went, oh my gosh. And this little woman sat there. Well, I'll tell you what, after a lot of work and a lot of prayer, they were still married, had another child, and they were happy. So that's the power that God can do for your marriage if you're having difficulties. That's where we learned how to deal with issues. Let's look at the other one. It says, don't judge others. It doesn't say others, but I'll put that others. Don't judge others. You don't know what storm someone has just walked through. We found that so prevalent in marriage ministry. We didn't know what storms these people have walked through, but God had called us to help rectify their issues through the Word of God, because the Word of God has everything that you need for your situation. Everything. There's some people in this room right now that have been through so many storms, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. But I know through the Word of God, this person that's sitting here today, and I will not mention the name, they'll know who I'm talking about, has overcome. Overcome. Because we're all overcomers with the Word of God. We're all overcomers. Then the next storm that I want to share with you all is when Keith had a stroke. He had come, I don't know why I was home first. It was a Wednesday night. And he came, parked the car, and he was walking into the house, which I was not aware of. But he was out there for quite some time. I thought, oh, he's just probably talking with the neighbors, because he did that a lot. You know, 20 minutes later, I wasn't concerned. So finally, I thought, well, get up off your blessed assurance. Go see what's going on. So I walked through the kitchen, and I looked down the steps. He's sitting on the bottom of the steps. And I said, what happened? He says, I don't know. I just lost it out in the driveway, and his nose was bleeding. He had blood all over him. I said, well, why didn't you call me? Well, I didn't want to disturb you. I went, what? Man, what's wrong? I just sat there and I thought, oh, Keith. So what did I do? I got helped him up. I didn't help him up because I can't do that. But I got him a towel to, you know, protect his face. And I called Sarah and I says, please come. I need help. So her and Eric and Brendan came. And it was a summer day. It was warm. And we had to call our neighbors to call to get him up off the floor, because he's a very big man, as you all know. They all three or four of them got him in the car, and I just felt in my spirit I had to get him to the hospital. That's all I knew. It was being led of the Spirit at that time. Got him to the VA, got him into the room. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know he was... They tried putting an IV, I'll never forget it, tried putting an IV in his arm, and it blew out. Blood went everywhere. I went, my goodness, people. Anyway, and then he started talking, and he wasn't talking too good. The nurse, does he talk like that all the time? He says, no. Immediately, people, they got into a different mode. They started helping him. And because they don't have any place there at VA to help him with strokes, any type of heart issues, they send you out. Well, they put him in an ambulance, which took forever. And we finally got to Mercy Hospital, and there's a time limit of 4 hours as the stroke started before you can give this medicine to do something to the body. Maybe Elaine could explain it. I don't know what it was, but they had to have my approval. And I trusted the doctors at that time because I didn't know what else to do. Sure, I was trusting God, but I know God gave us doctors. Why else would they be here? Who wants to look at this ugly body on the inside? I sure wouldn't. They have to be called of God to do it. Think about it, people. Well, anyway, they got that medicine in him. And he stayed in that hospital for, not Mercy, but he came to rehab for a month. He was at the VA for a long month. July 3rd, we got to bring him home. And the rest is history. Let's do the next one. Oh, I guess I did. Let me get my eyes on. It says, don't judge. Oh, we tried that one. Another storm we went through, which most of you are familiar with, is Sally passing. Keith and I had planned a cruise. We were down in Texas, anxiously waiting to get on the boat the next day. Got a call from our, I was at Sherry's on the way to Texas. And I got a call from my son, Dennis, our son. Do you know where Sally's at? No, I talked to her this morning. She was happy. She was doing this. She was doing that. Well, we can't find her. I said, well, I don't know. I'm over here in Oklahoma with Sherry's house, and you're wanting me to just let me know what you find out. Well, I never heard anymore. So, of course, the three of us, Sherry, Keith, and I prayed. We had a peace. A peace, people. A peace, a peace, a peace in our spirit. All three of us. So we went about our day, and Keith and I drove down to Denton, Texas, which is close to Cheryl's ministry, which we love her dearly. We were talking her, going to visit her, and I get a call. I don't remember if it was Sarah, but I got a call. We can't find her. And this is, what, 2 or 3 days later. I might not get it correct, Sarah, so you might have to help me because my mind has washed out some of it. But we got the call that she was still missing. Oh. And then I got the call. They found her car. And then I get a call from Sarah that morning when we were ready to leave. And she was telling me, I know where the car's at. It's down in this ditch on 141 after you go through Grimes. Oh, okay. So she went there. And I said, now, stay with me, Sarah. You're my eyes. You're my ears. You're my mouth there. So she stopped, and I don't see it. I said, you have to get out. Look over the... And that's when we found it was her car. She said, Mom, it's her car. Well, okay, some time had passed, and we didn't find Sally in the car. We're going, what? No, where is she? And then I got a call. We decided we better leave. And believe it or not, that day it was snowing like crazy in Denton, Texas. People were saying, don't go anywhere. They, of course, down there, they don't know how to drive in snow. But you know Keith, truck driver. We got in our car. We were traveling down the road, going as fast as we can, talking to Sally's dad and all that on the phone and trying to decide what to do. And then I get a call from Bethany. That's Sally's youngest daughter. They found Mom. She was under the water. She had climbed out of the car somehow. And because it was in a ravine with water, she went under the water and drowned because of the ice. But we found out all of this was due because she was drunk as a skunk. We had found out from the news that earlier that day, no, it would have been Monday that day, they saw her driving like this in Grimes going down 141. But nobody did anything. They couldn't find her. She had fallen down that embankment. Anyway, that's that storm. We got home, went through the funeral. And then also with all that storm going on, the girls would not let us be part of the planning of the funeral. Boy, did my flesh flare up. I said, Keith, I'm not going. I'm not going. They don't want me there. He says, you're going. Well, we did. They asked Keith to do the service, which was good. Pastor Stephanie told us, I am driving you down there, because we had to go to Oskaloosa to do this service, and we did. And I got online the next day. We did this service one day, I think, and then did we go to the cemetery the next day, Sarah? Yeah, the next day. Before we left, I went online, and I think it was Bethany had wrote something. I don't have it with me, but she had wrote about her mom, a little story. So I took that story with me because it was so touching. And when we were at the cemetery, I spoke that word, what was written. I didn't tell him who wrote it. I just said, I received this morning. And then, of course, Keith proceeded with what he had to do. And then after it was done, Bethany came up to me, this little granddaughter. That was my story. I said, I know. Would you like a copy of it? She said, yes. Because those girls were trained by their mom that our faith was wrong, don't have anything to do with it. It was just, it's what it was. We've accepted that. And then her dad, my ex-husband came up to me and we hugged. And I told him, I says, our daughter was loved by a lot of people. That's all I told him. And then I walked away. But anyway, that's a storm. It took a while to get over that. And then, when we came home, we knew we had to get away. So we went to Mexico and stayed with Deb and Louise for 10 days. And while we were down there, out of those 10, 9 nights, Keith was teaching at that church of theirs. They go to church every day. It's amazing. That's where I got healed. Like I told you, it was the children praising God, going up and down this aisle, if you can picture it, praising God with their little instruments, or they're worshiping with their little hands. And that's what healed me. There is one regret. I've never physically spoken it, but I regret that Sarah couldn't have gone with us, because I know she was hurting too. But at that time, I was thinking only of me. I knew Sarah was okay because she had Eric, but I was just thinking of me, and I asked you to forgive me for that, Sarah, because I know it's part of what needs to be forgotten and forgived. That's kind of heavy, but yet I know she's in heaven because Keith told me he saw her there, so I trust that. So that's a good thing. Yeah, see? When you see in the spirit, you see things, and it's open for anyone that wants to see. Let's do the next one. It says, get my eyes on here. Don't be so aware of the storm that you lose awareness of God in the storm. Whew, that's a strong one for me. I don't care what your storm is. If you're arguing with your husband or your wife or your boss, that's a storm. And a lot of times when I'm in those storms, I get in my flesh. Ooh, boy, Jesus help me. That's why I'm teaching this, because I need it. The most recent storm in my life was the passing of my youngest brother, Tom. That was a year ago, September. Sarah and I were in the office. We found about it. And on the way home, I felt like God was telling me to do the estate. Boy, I didn't have a good relationship with Tom, because he chose not to have that relationship because he was gay, and he knew of my faith. But yet that didn't bother me. It bothered him. So we accepted that. Well, I told Keith about it, and he said, do it. But I said, I don't want to do it without my oldest brother, Ron. Well, Ron agreed. We both agreed. We went to the attorneys. We had it all written up. It is a process, and all of the kids had to agree that we would be responsible for the estate in making the decisions of this, because he had no will. He had no wife, no kids. It was just him. So here we are. Sarah and I, that next day, got in the car, went everywhere we could think of. He worked for Drake for many, many, many years. So we went there and found out he had this insurance policy. We found out who the beneficiary was, one of my brothers, and we got them to send him the check. And then I found out he had money in an account. I don't even remember the name of it. It's out east somewhere, that through Drake, they must have matched the funds. Come to find out that was well over $400,000. I went, And I knew he had a beneficiary for that. Well, they weren't going to tell me at first on the phone. But finally they said, do you know who Ron is? I said, of course I do. He's my oldest brother. Have him call. So I knew Ron was the beneficiary. Keith and I were so happy, because Ron is a man of where the father never treated him right, never, all of his growing up years. And I knew that. Anyway, long story short, I called Ron and Jane, told them that it was him. He couldn't believe it. I said, it's you. You get the money. It's yours. And that money is tax-free, by the way, and it's his, period. It's like beneficiary. Long story short, Sarah and I spent hours down there in that house. We had to get this live-in of Tom's out first, which took probably 6 weeks. He felt that he had a right to be there. He felt that he had all this that Tom had promised him. And I said, okay, that's my door. So I said, let's find that will that you're talking about. That's what got us in the door, didn't it, Sarah? Yeah, for days we would, if you only knew the mess we were in. oh, it was a mess. Well, anyway, we looked and we went through papers, and I kept taking papers home with me. Never found it because it wasn't there. We knew it wasn't there. But we treated that with that man with dignity, because if we didn't, he would shut that door faster than you could say, hmm. So we treated him with dignity, and that went on for probably 2 or 3 weeks. Finally, it came to the point where he knew he had to get out, because we put an order for him to vacate. That took 6 weeks. Finally, he did. Sarah and I got in the house, and we went, oh, my word. My brother had beautiful furniture there, antiques. He had things that belonged to my folks. And, well, we got through all of that. We had a big sale. But everybody was working so well together until December. That was after the estate sale. Thank you, Sarah. After the estate sale, I took some papers over to my brother's house here in Ankeny and his wife. For some reason, I don't know what happened to her, but she turned on me like I've never had anybody turn on me. For 25 minutes, I heard, The only thing I said, why are you so angry? That's the only thing I said to her. I kept my mouth shut. I've learned, not only through Married for Life, but through ministry work all these years, when somebody comes after you, zip this mouth, let them vent. Because if you feed them, they're going to go on farther and farther. But after a while, she finally quit. I just looked at my brother. What do you want me to do? Because, see, it was him and I, not her. She wasn't part of the deal, even though she thought she was. Anyway, do not be so aware of the storm that you lose awareness of God in the storm. I had to do that with that. The next one says, you can be in the storm, but don't let the storm get in you. That's basically what the other one. You can be in the storm, but don't let it get in you. Remember that storm is here by God to show his power and his authority, to represent his ability to bring change. Oh boy, if you're going through a storm, you know something's happening. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. And that's where I'm at. I've got to change my mind. I got to renew it. He's going to purify and demonstrate his authority through that storm. Whether you allow him or not, it's his authority. And storms often serve as a call to trust in God's protection. He's protecting you through that storm. We don't feel it. It doesn't make sense. Why am I going through this, God? I didn't do anything wrong. It shows us to seek refuge in him. And we remember the wind is seen as a symbol of God's presence because it's so powerful, but yet we don't see it. We don't see it. The next one, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what the storm is all about. Whatever storm you're going through, you're going through it. I spoke with Sharon Bennell, and I shared with her what I was going to share today, because I know her storm was called COVID. You heard her share. She almost died twice. And she said when her body told her it was about ready to leave, she kept saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. She took authority with the word of God over her body. Nothing formed against me will prosper. And if you can see, if you can see what your apostle is going through spiritually, it's not because of you all. It's because of the season we're in. We're in a season that Jesus is almost ready to return, if not soon, very soon. We know it. We sense it. And because of that, the storm that is against him to get him to quit. That storm has tried to break up our marriage so many times, I can't tell you. But we know what it's all about. Because we know what the storm is trying to do. It's trying to break us up. Because once that happens, this might go away. It's trying to take Keith out of the authority that God has given him. He feels unworthy. He feels rejected. is hurting him. And you can see that when the storm is that heavy. I'm telling you, people, it's almost like you can't even bear it. But God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's got that in his heart. I had a man come to me here a while back. He said, I have never known a man that loves people as much as Keith does. Well, I know it, but I've never had it said to me before. And I thought, I shared that with him. And I said, yeah, that's you. He has that agape love. He loves you even when you're ugly. He loves me even when I'm ugly. And I can be really ugly with him in our house. You won't see it here, but you'll see it there. Yes, I'm dealing with that. And with his teachings here lately, I'm learning more about love over the past year. That storm was one I never was raised in love. I had no clue what it was. I just knew I wanted it. Anyway, that is getting better. The arguments at home are getting less, the disagreements. Because I disagree on some of the decisions he makes here. But who am I? I said, he'll say, well, God told me, oh, I don't want to argue with God. That's what I tell him when we're discussing something. He'll say, well, God told me, oh, I don't argue with God. That ends it. For me, I don't want to discuss. I'm not ever going to come against God. I don't care. I might say later, God, are you sure you told him that? No. I have to trust Keith, which in that position I have to, not only as my husband, but as the pastor of this church. Anyway, we know that Sharon, we love her dearly, because Sharon is our backbone of this ministry. She's the one that encouraged Keith to step forward all those years ago. It took a long time for him to walk in it, but that's okay. He's very cautious. He's not going to just jump into something and, oh, it's God, and it might not be. He'd rather be sure 100%, and that's just his nature. And I wish y'all could see what he's like when he's out of this office and when he's out of this. I think, like, some of you that spent time with us at our home, you get to talk to him one-on-one. I see three men that have done it. And Chris, a long time. We've been with Chris a long time. Eric. We know that Keith is a man of integrity. And sometimes I don't like that so much. Comes against me. But that's okay, because I'm the one that has this thing going up here. What I'm saying about my mind is, when he comes home from whatever here, let's just use this as an example. He drives into the driveway, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I can see him drive in. 20 minutes has passed. What is my mind doing? Oh, my gosh, he's fallen. He's not well. You better go check on him. My mind is telling me that. But I'm going, uh-uh, uh-uh. No, 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 no. Everything's okay. After a while, he'll come in. You know, I always hear his crutches. You can hear his. So I know he's in. Then when I said, what took you so long out there? Oh, I was doing this or I was doing that or it just took me a while to get up. And I'm going, okay. Because I don't share with him what's going on up here because that's not his responsibility. It's mine. I know he would pray with me, which he does, to help me. But a lot of times I just have to do it on my own. That's why I'm teaching this today, because that storm of my mind won't shut up. But you know what? That's the Bible tells us the battleground where the Satan lives is in our mind. He reminds you of everything that you've done wrong. Do you ever have the devil say, oh, you did a good job? No, that's not his job. His job is to remind you. Do you remember when you did that? Yeah, but I'll tell you what, if you've had that fit of carnality, which I've had many of them, repent, repair. If you say something that hurts your spouse or your kids or whomever, your boss, just repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Go to the person. I'm sorry. And you know what? When you ask God to forgive you, he does. He never, no longer does he remember it. It's gone in his mind. Isn't that wonderful? I praise God for that. I probably wouldn't be here. And then I saw hope. H-O-P-E. Holding on with patient expectations. If you're going through that storm and you have hope, which we do, hold on with patience. Oh, that word is hard. Lord, why can't you do it now? I can't wait anymore. It has to be done now. Patient, my dear. Patience, patience. He's trying to teach me something. You know what it is? So clear. Patience. Get that flesh under control and expect it to be with God, and it will be perfect. We were invited, Keith and I, to a young lady's school here last week. Wasn't it last week we went? Yeah, because they had Pastor Appreciation Day. That meant Keith had to suffer. He does not like getting up early. Oh, he hates it. But you know what? He appreciates this young lady. So we got up early, and we went, and we had a great time. It was beautiful. I thought she went to Christian school over here. No, it's on the south side. We didn't even know that church existed until last week. Yeah. So we went, and we got to sit in the back where the pastors were at. And we saw these kids. I mean, more 400 or 500 kids. What is it, first through fifth grade there? Yeah. And you're in fifth grade? Fourth grade. Okay, fourth grade. Ooh, wrong. Fourth grade. And you know what? Each class came in separately, and they sat in their little sections. And I'm sitting in the back watching these beautiful children. Not one was squirming, doing this, looking around. Not one. I was amazed. I thought, wow, how did they do it? They teach you, don't they? Yeah. They have little sayings that they say, little prayers. Then they sing the songs. And then they were supposed to write a note to their pastor, which we received today. Thank you. It's so cute about how much she appreciates this church. Well, we appreciate her more. And I was sharing with a lady that works at that church. I don't know what position she had, but I was saying, we're here to represent you. And I said, that young lady is a seer. And she went, really? Of course, they probably don't understand it because they're Baptist. But I said, yeah, she's a seer. She sees things in the spirit. We've heard her say things. We're so blessed to have her and her mom and dad. Well, I shared that with mom later. And mom says, she still has it, but she doesn't share it publicly. And I says, I understand that. As you get older, it's harder. But I hope someday you open up and share what you see. We'd love to hear it. Because we're not all of us see. Oh, that's me. Anyway, love you, girl. Just bragging on you. You deserve it. Okay. Is it your will to follow God's plan for your life? Do you really want that? You have to ask yourself, do I really want that? I'm asking myself that every day when I have these fit of carnalities. I'm going, God, forgive me again. Or are you proud and think you can do it on your own? Remember, no man or woman is an island. We need each other. We need each other to help us through the storms of our lives. Why? Because some of us here have gone through storms that I pray I never go through. And if they know, they can share their storm, share how God got them through it. That's not only praising God, but it's showing how you grew through that particular storm. Storms, let's go to the next one. Storms help us shift our focus from building our own kingdom to building God's kingdom. Well, how in the world does a storm do that? Well, don't you remember back here? When we're going through the storm, it represents God's ability to bring change, purify, and to demonstrate his authority. Storms often serve as a call to trust in God's protection and seek refuge in him. And the wind is seen as a symbol of God's presence because it's so powerful, yet unseen. Just like God is, I've never personally seen God, but I know he exists. I know that. So are you too proud? And do you think you can do it on your own? Sometimes we don't want to share the storms we're going through. What will that person think if I share that, God? They might think, oh, they won't like me anymore. Oh, if we all love the Lord and you share a storm that you're going through, they're going to love you more for sharing it, because obviously you need to share it, and obviously they might need to hear it. They might have gone through that storm 5 years ago. Hey, this is what I did. That's why I need each other. I like this one the best. We are meant to go through the storms of life, but not camp there. Oh my gosh. 5 years ago, I went through this storm, and I'm still going through it. Let me tell you about it. 5 hours later, it's like, please, don't camp out in your storms. I have to stand up. You get it? Hallelujah. Is right. Storms are not there for you to camp in, because that'll make you so miserable. It's like you become so depressed. God doesn't hear me. God doesn't answer my prayers. God isn't there for me. And it's all negative, negative, negative. And that's the storm you're in, because God's saying, well, until you quit confessing that it's negative, then you're going to stay there. Well, right, Jeff? You keep confessing it. You think you're going to get out of it if you keep confessing, woe is me. You got to hear my story. You won't believe what I've been through. Hey, it's better to get through it. It's better to learn. It's better to let God have his control over your storms. Isn't this? This is all for me, folks. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Well, let's see what else I have for you. Storms will come into our lives. This is another one, Sarah. Storms will come into our life as Christians. That means we're believers. But it may come in the form of a calamity, hardship of some kind, medical issues, marital problems, legal issues, or something else. Think about it. All those different things. Calamities. That could be like a tornado or something we have no control over. That's a storm. Hardships of some kind. Oh, I lost my job. Where's my income going to come from? Medical issues. There's a few of us that are dealing with that. Marital problems. I hope none of us are. If you are, let me know. I'll take care of that. It's like, when I said that, it's like the guy, he had problems with pornography. I'll watch my language. And he went to the pastor and he told him, he says, I just can't get off of it. It is there and I got to watch it. Ooh. Pastor says, I'll take care of that. Just let me go get your wife. Guys, if you have that problem, tell your wife. She'll take care of it every time. I guarantee you. Guarantee it. And that's, you know why? Because God made men visually with their eyes. That's the way he made them. They see the beauty in the women. Some of them just take it a little too far. But we can deal with that, can't we, wives and women? Mm-hmm. Now, when there's a storm of correction, that could come to us too. We basically bring those storms upon ourselves. Ooh. And reap the consequences of our actions. Well, we messed up, yes. But all you need to do is repent and repair. Because usually when you do a storm of any kind, it hurts somebody. Not all the time. Usually it's, well, with me, I usually speak, you know, my mouth, which I shouldn't do. And so I have to correct it with Keith. I'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Forgive me. Yeah, I forgive you for the millionth. No, he doesn't say that. But he's probably thinking it. So if you mess up of any kind of storm you're going through, even if you brought it upon yourself by saying, oh, God doesn't hear my prayers. I got to have Pastor Keith pray me because I can't do it. Yes, you can. You've got the same ability he has. Yes, he has a different calling, but that's okay. I don't want to be like him. I can't fit in his size 16 shoes. Oh, no. I know I went and sat in his chair. I can't even sit in that big Bubba chair in there. It's just too big. But that's okay. That's okay. I just, when I do something wrong, I just say, Lord, I did it again. I messed up. I repent, and then I repair if I've hurt somebody. Having said all of that about storms, I hope it helped. I know it helped me. Is there any, now, if you prefer, you don't have to speak on, have the camera on you. We'll bring the mic to you. But is there anyone here that would like to share how you went through the storm that you came through? Anyone? Oh, you've all been so good. No storms in your lives. Surely somebody wants to, or maybe you're still going through it. I don't know. That might be painful. Anyone? Okay, Holy Spirit, speak to these people. What? Did I hear? Well, however one you want to share. We got two here.
Okay, well, the Lord has put me through several transitions in my life. The last one leading here. And it's just a manifestation of the hand of the Lord directing me first out of California, not having a job set up. Only knew maybe one person in that town, really. But it worked out, and it turns out the Lord put me there to work at the Bank of America for like 8 years. And that was a storm in and of itself. And I remember the first day walking in, I got to tell you, the customer service at that place, their systems are antiquated, and you have to go utilize three or four different systems just to answer a question. And so you're juggling things all the time. I had a dream about that a year before, and I'm like, no, Lord, I don't need a nightmare. I woke up like protesting. Well, that was the Lord telling me it's going to happen. But the day I began working there was a training day, and I'm walking into the building, never been in that building before, and the peace of the Lord came over me, and a knowing came to my mind, this is where I want you to be, Brian. And yes, that first year was oh gosh, if I was fired, I would have been happy, you know, kind of thing. And that was me moving to Arizona from California, no family, but it worked out for, you know, 8-10 years, whatever. The next transition, after going to Thurman Scrivener's ministry for healing school in 2019, the Lord put in my mind, what would you think about living in Texas? Now, had I not met Thurman Scrivener, I'd say no, because it's flat. I'm a mountain guy. I'm a athletic guy, and there's... what's there to see in Texas, right? Well, there's Thurman. And I proposed in my heart, as I had a premonition, well, no, I'm going to use that word. I saw in the spirit that I would be working in London trading. This is a big financial and currency place, and I was always thinking, okay, when's that going to happen? Well, I thought to myself, after meeting Thurman and getting healed miraculously, be good to sit at the master's feet for a while just to learn, maybe 6 months or a year. Well, that happened. The storm was, I was on a medical leave of absence at the end of 2021 because I had so much stress in my life. I had brain fog real bad, and it was affecting my internal organs as well, and I had to get out of that job, otherwise it's going to kill me, and I knew it. So I went forward, and I put myself on that leave of absence. And people are saying, oh, you need to go back to your job. You need to keep your medical, you know, health care. And I'm like, no, I don't feel led that way at all. And I could have got another job with another firm. They would have loved me. Nope. I got a check in that. So I'm walking, burning through savings, and the apartment complex that I was in that was established for years and years and years, they sold out. And the new guy thought, oh, he can hike up rates by 60-80%. Everyone left, and I had to leave too. I was like, no way. My income didn't go up 60% or whatever, so guess where I wound up going? Well, it's Midwest. It's cheaper living out there. Well, that was changing quick, and I could be near a Thurman's place. And I took myself, and I moved out to Texas, and people came to my aid to help me move because I had a bunch of stuff. It just came together. I was like, Lord, your hand is in this. It was amazing, a miracle. And I spent, you know, six months there without a job. And about time when I got a side job just to pay for, you know, like rent and things, that's when they offered to work at Thurman's ministry took place. And I was there for about 2 years. And then the recent transition here, same kind of thing. You know, that period was done. And I didn't really know Pastor Keith or Apostle Keith. He invites me. Why don't you go to a two-month ministry that we have here? Like, really? 2 months? At first, I didn't think much of it, and I thought, yeah, this makes sense. I think I'll do it. So now I'm here, and I've been, I can't tell you how many times I've had the peace of the Lord here. No, I don't have a job, and it's okay. But the Lord has put me in here, and I've been learning, and I've been very accepted, and I've been very blessed here. So these are these storms that the Lord has used to transition me, and I'm very thankful for it, because you don't want to stay in the place you've been. You want to develop, you want to grow, and the old, like you say, the flesh nature, it's got to die. And it's not easy. No flesh nature ever wants to die. But the Lord is gracious and patient, and we see that in Pastor Keith so much. So I just, there's a number of storms I've been through, and the Lord has guided me through them all. One thing I'll say, I didn't speak up earlier when I came in, but something very impressive came to my mind on a Friday night. I happened to listen to a podcast of what happened to a number of folks who lived through the tsunami in Indian Ocean in 2004. Major storm in people's lives and a lot of loss of life. And somehow these people made it alive through it. And I thought to myself, boy, life is precious. And Lord loves all these people who got lost. And I know we are going to be facing a storm. You know, it's a financial storm. And I'm very concerned about it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, gee, if they could have prepared, if they knew, they could have survived that thing. And it's like, well, we need to prepare. And I'm asking the Lord, well, how do we prepare? Show us what to do in preparation for this storm. It's going to be big like 1929 and the 30s again. So that is my prayer right now. And I haven't had a chance to talk with Pastor Keith about it because, well, I spoke with him on Saturday morning. He was driving. I didn't know where to. Anyways, I love him, and thank you guys for having this ministry. And God bless you. God bless you and Pastor Keith. Thank you for keeping this going.
So they were talking about storms that you bring upon yourself. When I was 13, I decided I'd had enough. And I was too much of a coward to commit suicide, but I knew that smoking would shorten your life. So I deliberately started smoking, hoping to get out of here sooner. And when I was 16, I was smoking 3 packs a day. Three packs a day at 16. It was easy because my parents, who I love and did the best they could, felt it was better to have me do it in front of them rather than hide and sneak around. So they actually bought my cigarettes for me. I would mow yards during the day, and then they would go to the store. They would buy my cigarettes for me with what I made mowing yards. And then in 93... 1 week to the day before my 21st birthday, I prayed the Lord's Prayer. But I put myself in the storm of smoking. And I tried off and on for years to quit with disastrous results. The mood swings, the cravings, and everything else. Just, it was intolerable. And so, Sarah and I, one day we're talking back in 2016, and I knew that it was time to get out of that storm. because I've been smoking since I was 13, and I was in my 40s now. So I've been smoking 30 years. And from previous experiments, I knew that there was no way I could do it on my own. So I went to Sarah and I said, okay, we need to pray this out. So we started praying and we said, okay, Father, you know the timing. You know the way. All we ask is that there's just no cravings, there's no withdrawal symptoms, there's no mood swings. You tell us when we're done. And we started praying that in March. And that following July, we got up, and I was getting ready to go to work. I was working 7 to 3 at the time. It was the last two packs, cigarettes in the pack. And we had them before we went, and I looked at her and said, we're done. Well, it wasn't quite done. There was one more pack because Satan wanted to just hold on. So we had one more pack, but then when that pack was done, we looked at each other and we're like, that's it. So God delivered us from a storm that I had developed myself. And the interesting thing about all this with my smoking is I was also asthmatic. So I smoked three packs a day while being asthmatic as a teenager. So if you want to think that God doesn't have a plan for your life, I'm a walking testimony because my lungs should be nothing but charcoal right now. So God let me go through that storm because it was one of my own making. But he made the way out, and he answered better than I had ever thought of. So even the storms you bring on yourself, he wants you out.
Thinking about what Debbie said about when Sally passed, thinking about it'll be 10 years in February. Long time ago. And you are, I accept your apology. It was hard. For me, the hardest part was I was working at Papa John's, and I was a manager at the time. And I get a call from Bethany, who I never get a call from. And she goes, have you seen my mom? And I said, no. And I kind of just pushed it off, not thinking anything. And then Dennis calls me, and my phone's starting to blow up from everybody. Where's your sister? I don't know. And that night, I knew something wasn't right. So I had somebody take over my shift. And I kept thinking 141, but I kept saying 163 because she lived off of 163 at Oskaloosa. And so here I do. I pick up Brendan. It's cold. We're going down 163 trying to look for her. Come back. I'm trying to work, trying to figure this all out. You know, they know what's going on at work. Thankfully, I had a really good district manager at the time who gave me the time off to look. And Friday morning, I'm like, I am just going to look down 141. So I went down 141. I went all the way to Woodward, didn't see anything. I came back, and it's the first bridge after Grimes going towards Polk City on 141. And I see this officer there, and I'm thinking, this is kind of strange. And so I passed by. I thought, nah. Then I came back to go towards, Woodward. And I saw he was on the other side of the bridge. I'm thinking, okay. So I got out. It's like freezing out. I'm like all dressed up for winter because it was cold. And I walked over halfway through, I walked on a part of the bridge because it's a long bridge, as most people know over there. So I'm like, well, I didn't see anything. I'm going to get in the car. But then I see he was still looking, so I got out, and that's when I saw a car. It was from about the windshield up is all you could see. And so, you know, at that time, I knew. I'm bawling. I called my mom. She's like, it's okay, calm down, calm down, calm down. And that's when I went over. She goes, go over to the police officer and tell him that you're your sister, and she was missing. And so here it is. I'm in a police car. Thankfully, they got me out, because when you're in the back of a police car and you're as tall as me, it don't work very well. And I had all that, the stuff on for the winter. But because they put me in one police car, and then they put me in the front of another one. And they were working with me. So here it is. I'm on the phone, like she said. I have Greg, which was Sally's dad, in one ear. I have her. And then I have the police officers and everything else that was going on. I mean, just to be there and watch the day unfold, it was unreal. And finally, the police officer I was with had to go from one side to the other because they were having accidents because they were getting ready to take the car out of the little ravine. And so I finally said, well, I'm going to go home. I can't handle any more of this. And I just went home and I bawled. And he came home. He actually got off work early and came home. And then that's when we thought, you know, let's go look down the other part of the river, because at that time it was warm, which I thought February 23rd is a weird day to be warm. So we went and did some stuff. Then we went to a Casey's and I got the phone call that they had found her body. And it took my nieces a long time to realize that she actually died. She passed away on the 23rd, not the 27th, I think it was, because we didn't find her. She was doing this on Monday because she was going to Ankeny to see her little grandson, who was also born on our mother's birthday. And just, I don't know what happened that morning that made her decide that alcohol was the way to go that day. We knew that she had a problem. We thought she had licked it. So if you know of anybody with issues, you know, keep an eye on them, because you never know. And if I would have known, I would have kept an eye on her, because I was just with her not even a year before that when my grandfather passed. She let us stay down there for that. But that was one of the hardest days, watching. You don't understand what you have to go through until you sit there and watch it unfold in front of your eyes. Whether it's a friend, a family member, or just somebody that you saw get in an accident. You never understand. And it sticks with you. And I would say that was probably one of the hardest. I mean, it took me months. I was never that close to my sister. But I thank God, because now my brother came back into my life. I haven't had him in my life very much either, because they're a lot older than I am. You know, they had a different father than I have. I do know they despised me for that, because I actually had a father who loved me. And I felt bad for them that they had a father that didn't really know what to do. But I've learned a lot through that, and now that I'm reunited with my brother again, he's told me stuff that I used to do to him when I was little, I didn't know he was my protector when I was younger. I did not know that. Like, I'd have a certain blanket, and I'd give it to him, but I wouldn't give it to anybody else. I didn't know that stuff. So even though it was a rough storm to go through, there's been a lot of blessings out of this. But yeah, that was probably one of the hardest storms I've ever had to go through.
Thanks. So in 2006, I came to Christ. And the reason I did, I was trying to figure out how to make money. I listened business audio, and at the end of it, the guy said, Jesus Christ is personal savior, and he gives God all the glory. So then I, after 2006, I came to Christ, and then I had to learn about the spirits. So like 2010, 2011, then I learned about the spirits get healed, saved, delivered. And so now I'm attempting to do something great for the Lord. So I tried to break this down into 30-second stories so I can tell it to people. But still in the storm of trying to figure out how to make money. But I like Daniel's message, because he talks about all the Gospels have the story of the storm, but the one he chose, I saw in the King James, it uses the word jeopardy. And so, and that made me think of our love being in jeopardy. But Jesus says, peace. So thank God for the power.
So the most recent storm in our life, at least my life, I don't know about Chris, but my life a year ago on August 17th, he was here at church, and he felt this horrific pain in his hip, and he managed to get himself home, and I nursed him all through the night. He was in so much pain, so when he got to the hospital, I called an ambulance because he couldn't walk. And they diagnosed him with prostate cancer that had metastasized. And that means it's kind of all over, especially in the pelvis. And so for me, that was a great storm, because when you think of cancer, you think of death. But praise God that by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, we are overcomers. And I'm so grateful. You know, and I know there are others of you here who maybe still have doubt when it comes to things. But I so appreciate you believing with us, without doubt, that he is the healed of the Lord. So for a whole year, over a year, he had a over the computer Zoom doctor's appointment. He has not been to a doctor for a whole year. We're just believing, and we did it over the computer. She didn't even check him over, but I've been journaling, and his blood pressures and all of that have been so good, and his lab work came back good. There was a liver enzyme that was high, and protein in his urine. So I asked her, I said, "So what do you think about all of this?" And she said, "Well, I have to be honest. I'm very impressed and very surprised that he's doing so well." And when he was in the hospital, we said, "We're not doing any conventional medical treatment. We are going to believe our God that by his stripes we are healed." So it was a testimony, you know. So praise the Lord. You know, now we still have other issues with knees and so forth, but we're just believing that cancer is gone in Jesus' name. And again, thank you for believing without doubt with us, okay? That's why we need each other. And if you're weak in that area, don't give up. Don't give up. So praise God.
Yes, I'm just going to give a quick rundown. I've had storms in my life, but this one in 2017, I had pneumonia vaccine, which had me on the floor for about almost 18 hours. I had a dog, but the dog didn't bark or anything to alert. You know, that time I was on the floor and I couldn't get up because my muscles and my joints were compromised. Anyway, it happened that Thursday my son drove down to Davenport and for his daughter's school, and he came in and saw me on the floor, and that's how I got medical attention. Anyway, that storm brought me here to Des Moines, or West Des Moines, and from that I had to, you know, leave my job, you know, retire fully, and that's how I started learning about the Holy Spirit and learning about, you know, the things of God, and although that also created another storm, but it helped me to walk in God's righteousness, and that's how I'm here. So although the enemy sent me lemons, the Lord gave me, made me lemonade, and I'm so happy that I'm here with you guys, because, you know, whatever the enemy does for evil, God can turn it around for good. And so we're not going to be, you know, we have to keep on trusting, we've got to keep on believing, and no matter how it seems, no matter how it looks, God is in control. That's what I have to say.
Can I share a short one? Really, really short. Okay. Mine is with one of the places I worked at, I literally have coworkers threaten me, like my life, pretty much. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, Lord." And I prayed and said, "Lord, what do I do?" And he said, peace. And he gave me peace to get through this. I said, Lord, but how long do I have to listen to her da-da-da and da-da-da about me, because she doesn't like me for whatever reason and she despised me. So Lord gave me peace. I said, thank you, Lord, for peace. I said, now, Lord, how long is it going to take before, you know, maybe move her to night shift? And probably two shifts later, she got moved to night shifts. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for listening to my prayers. And thank you, Lord, for answers of prayers. And God protected me. And I'm still where I am at right now. And I know that no matter where I go, God is with me. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for that.
Well, praise the Lord. Has this not been good? It's good to share, because the storm that you have come through would help someone else. Just one brief thing, and then we're done. Remember, the storms in the Bible, they are symbols of God's power and his authority. The storm represents his ability to bring change. Obviously, there's change we need to do. Purify, and to demonstrate his authority. Oh, that's powerful. Storms often served as a call to trust in God's protection, his protection, and seek refuge in him. The wind is seen as a symbol of God's presence because it's powerful, so powerful yet unseen. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this message that you have laid upon us. I thank you for the people that shared. I believe that we all have storms in our lives. Whatever that storm is, Lord, we know without a shadow of doubt that you're always with us. And yes, sometimes we do have fits of carnality, but you've given us a way out called repentance and repair. And for that, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're speaking to our apostle as he's gone. He is away from Iowa in the stress that that brings in the spiritual realm. That's why he goes to Minnesota, to hear you more clearly. And we know from his examples of the past, he will come back refreshed, renewed, and ready to take the day on. We need to keep him lifted up, people. He has got a lot of things on his mind and in his heart that God has laid there for him to do, and he cannot do it alone. As Daniel said, every hand in this ministry should be busy doing something. If you're not doing something for the ministry, let us know. There's many things to do. I just shared with Shara today, we could get someone to do, maybe helping her with the making of the CDs. I don't know what that entails, but if you feel something, let her know, because she's overwhelmed, I know, with all that she does, and I'm overwhelmed with watching her do what she does. But I thank you, Lord, for her and Eric's ability to keep things going in that PA system. It amazes me, Lord. But that's their gifting, and I thank you for that gifting, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you spoke to me, for this message was for me in my mind. It needs to be renewed daily. And I'm doing my best, Lord, doing my best, trying to keep you in focus in everything I say and do. And for that, Lord, I give you praise. And today I ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go about our ways, and that everything will be happy and perfect as we share this afternoon together with our families and friends, or with just you, Lord. Because with you, Lord, everything is going to be well. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen.